it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we got to shift gears, man, and talk some football with Raheem Morris. We'd love to be up there face-to-face, as we normally are, but circumstances didn't allow that today. So we're back in studio. Ra, obviously, they've got practice today. They have turned the page, and they're getting ready, starting to get ready for the San Francisco 49ers for Sunday Night Football. Day-Day, we're good to go? Well, let's talk to Ra then. Coach, it's good to have you. We'd love to see you, as we normally do, but as we said, circumstances not being up there today. How you doing? How's everything, man?
I can't complain, man. Just getting ready for another, you know, tough game, you know, on our schedule going out to the West Coast facing this tough 49er team. So really feeling good about that. And just right in the middle of preparation. So giving a call to you guys, man.
Hey, Rod, like I said, we'd hug you if you were there, man, if we could be in person. Because what a game. That's one of the best wins. I mean, I don't know, last year that Thursday night was epic. But to go on Monday Night Football and look so good on defense, to just running the football as a mentality, it just seems like you guys just had it cooking all night long.
You know, I got to give a lot of credit to the coaches for preparing the game plans, getting the guys ready, you know, along with coaching the game plan is being able to present the game plan and get to these guys so you can feel and see the understanding, and you definitely can see and feel it on Monday night. And the guys were flying. They played as a team. You see a bunch of selfless acts out there in order to win those type of games when you play in those environments, and that was absolutely outstanding.
Coach, you were ahead of the curve because you see him every day, and you said weeks ago, he's the best player in the NFL. Some people chuckle. Some people, you know, around the country went, ha, Ron's just loving his own guy. Coach, he's the best player in the NFL. I mean, that show he put on Monday Night Football was impressive.
I mean, he's talented, man. I wouldn't knock people for chuckling. You know, I'm fortunate enough that I get a chance to see him every day, how he prepares, how he works. I get a chance to see him practice. I get a chance to see him go out there in the games. I get a chance to see him push his guys, you know, every single day. I got a chance to be with him throughout the course of this summer, talk to him, do all the things that you necessarily do when you got a great player and you feel it coming. And he's done nothing but live up to it. And I couldn't be more proud of Bijan or Bijan, whatever you want to call him this week.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, as LeBron James calls him, he's cold in a good way. He's so cold, he's hot. It is Coach Raheem Morris with us, guys. Our weekly visit, head coach of the Falcons. Yeah, man, the offense itself just looked great. Drake doing his thing. I guess the only things we could pick on was just two picks that were not caught by the Bills. What does Zach say about Michael? And we still know that Michael's only played 8 games as a starter. Is that just a part of the learning curve for him?
Yeah, we can't make those mistakes. You know, obviously, we want to make the right reads, not make those mistakes, not give him an opportunity to catch those balls. You know, and that, those are the things that you learn as a young quarterback. Those are things you won't do. Those things you want to get better. It's always things to coach, no matter how big the win is. And that's one of those things that you can coach during wins. And those are always good things for us to look at, always things for us to go back and evaluate to make sure that we can protect the ball at all costs.
Ra, we know how tough Jake Matthews is. I heard you say day to day. Is there more to this? Do you think he plays Sunday night?
It'd be hard for me to bet against a Matthews. You know, he's just that type of guy. You know, he's going to do everything that he can do to play. I know him that well. He won't talk much about it. That's not his mentality. That's not his deal. But as we get later into the end of the week, I'm sure we'll have a better feel for what that is and how it looks. You know, obviously it's still fresh. Obviously you played a Monday night game. Obviously you got a short week, all the things working against him. But when you talk about a Matthews, particularly Jake, it'd be hard for me to count him out.
You know, we talk about culture, Coach, and sometimes the fans hear that and they just roll their eyes. But the culture you've got, where you got so many guys rotating on defense, where if I had told you that the 4 guys that were going to get sacks on Monday night, nobody would have had that, Exacta or Quinella. But talk about, like, the attitude where a guy goes, hey, I might only have, like, 10 or 11 plays, but I'm going to make it work when I get out there.
You know, it's been really nice to see just throughout the course of the season how we've rotated up front, how we've been able to get the guys, you know, all 20 or so, 30 or so reps a game to keep them fresh, to have that same mentality as you try to get after that pass rusher, as you try to get after that quarterback. And these guys have really bought into the system. They bought into what we want to do and how we want to do it. I can't say enough positive things about what they've done and how they've done it. They've gotten better and better every single week. Some weeks have gave us, you know, huge results like 4 sacks. His son, you don't get any, but you get the pressures, you get the ball out, you get the production on the back end, or whatever the case may be, just stopping people. But, you know, it showed up in a big way this week, and still Lamar left out there in the bone. And these guys, they're hungry, man. They're going after it.
Coach, how's Jalen coming? I thought he had a really good game the other night. I mentioned this to our audience yesterday. He led the team in quarterback pressures with 3. We had 15 against Josh. 4 sacks, as Mike alludes to. Where's Jalen Walker in this progression of him getting better each week and where you thought he would be, or is he right where, you know, he needs to be?
You know, it's kind of funny. He's shown probably more than what you would think from a first-year player. You know, we always talked about this last year, how much easier it is to play on the edge as opposed to being just thrown in there right from the beginning in the interior. But being on the edge, you know, I thought he would be right away a contributor when it came to rushing the passer and doing some of those different things. You know, obviously being able to utilize him and some of the things we walk him around and do some of the backer-like things when I'm dropping or, you know, rushing through the B-gaps from a stand-up position or some of that type of stuff. But he's really thrived at, you know, playing rundowns and being able to go out there and stop the run and set the edges and do some of those different things in the run game in the early D&D. That really kind of shocked us. You know, his strength, his center of gravity, his ability to set the edge and really lock, shock lock and escape people and get off blocks and make tackles has really shown up in a major way. Where I knew it would, just didn't know it would show up this quickly.
It's kind of hard to quantify the interior D-line play, especially when you're watching from the stands. But how good is Rook evolving? Speaking of like Rook, because he was a big contributor on Monday night.
You know, those guys all inside, you know, led by David, you know, inside being to go out there and be speedy and force it and be, you know, just a fist to the defense to speak in bridge terms, you know, going out there playing with that ultimate toughness and Root going out there really contributing mostly as a pass rusher, but really all over the place, watching him get better and involved inside with his run game and do some of the different things, you know, all those guys. What are you talking about, Dulles? What are you talking about, Root? You know, what are you talking about, Zach, who's at times been our sack leader, at times been our leader of pressure, at times been a guy who's been able to get some pushback. We've been able to rotate a few guys in there, whether it's been LaCal or Roberts this week. I'm really just kind of, you know, fired up with the rotation and the things that they've been able to do inside and the things they've been able to do on the edge together and how they worked around each other. It's been awesome.
How is Brick getting the most out of these guys? Coach, I get this, and you know, last year's last year, but some of these guys were here, and we've seen them play better. How is Brick getting more out of these guys?
You know, you started to see it last year, you know, with these guys, and you got to give a credit to each individual person as they got better throughout the season, and they played a little bit last year as they started to play towards the end of the season. And then when Brick came in, just talked about the relationship that he established with those guys because it starts there first. You know, nobody cares about how much you know today, how much you care. He's been able to show those guys how much he cares. You know, how much he cares about these guys. He's been able to bring coaches in here to be able to help, like a Nate Ollie, you know, and activate and Jockey Smith and really forming those relationships with all those guys being up front. Really being able to put it a part of our rush plan and our coverage plan, making it meet together, having those guys go out there and play together, and Brick being able to utilize their tools and everything that they have involved, and some of the stuff that he's brought from the Jets, some of the stuff that they had here, some of the stuff he's involved with other people. You can't say enough about the more open-mindedness of Brick or the open-mindedness of our guys. It's been one nice, you know, happy marriage, so to speak, as you've been looking at the progress.
It is Coach Raheem Morris, guys, live from Falcons camp here as we get ready for the 49ers. The only thing, if there's one negative, we've talked about it a little bit, is the kicking game. Most fans feel a 37-yarder, high-percentage kick. What's up with Parker Romo? Is that simply execution at the line, or he just didn't do a good job of getting the foot where it's supposed to be?
You know, we kicked a low one the other day. You know, other than that, we nailed all our extra points, nailed the last one that really counted. We kicked a low one that got blocked, had a little pushback on that one, but didn't like the way we hit that one, kind of was off the line, and that one got that kind of blocked. But I wouldn't put it all on special teams. I did think our coverage units came to life. You know, Jalen went down and made a tackle. Mike Ford continues to dominate, you know, some of those guys, Felipe Franks, being able to watch DeMarco Hams go out there and play penalty football. So I did see the ultimate improvement there on special teams. Just would like to see some operational piece with our kicking game consistently throughout the process. It has gotten a little bit better. I do feel a little bit more comfortable, and I do hope our fans feel a little bit more comfortable. We got to clean up that one that got blocked yesterday.
Coach, before we talk about the 49ers, that Sunday night, guys, our guys going on the road to take on the 49ers, Ray-Ray McCloud and Darnell Mooney. I think we're clamoring to see these guys back in the lineup and not only participate but contribute in some way, shape, or form. Can you give us an update on what the situation is with those two guys?
You know, obviously with the Mooney, we're talking about the health issue and getting him back, and hopefully that thing works out this week so he can go out there and be a contributor. And, you know, obviously You got to make the best decisions to find out who can win the football game across the board at every position, every single week, to see who's going to be up and contributing and making major factors for us. You know, last week our contributors majorly were, you know, Bijan and London, particularly when it came to accumulating the yardage. But the selfless acts across the board by Charlie Warner, by Kyle Pitts, by our upfront people, you know, contributors from as far as production standpoint, when you're talking about a guy like Tyler Algier, you know, but all those guys going out there being a perimeter setter, edge setters, doing the things necessary for us to go out there and score points. There is no 81-yard run without Casey Washington leading out front and really holding it down out there with a big-time block to spring a really special player out in the open grass and be able to get the most out of him.
All right, let's talk about the 49ers. We know they're banged up. We know that doesn't matter in the National Football League. You know Kyle very well, and he's going to have his guys ready. What do you see? What concerns you about this team, despite the fact that they're without a bunch of stars? But again, when we're without our guys, nobody cares.
Nobody cares about who you're not with anyway. Mm-hmm. This league is built for that. That's the beauty of the National Football League. We know the toughness that the 49ers are going to go out there and play with. We've seen them go out there and get a big time win in the same situation on the Thursday night game versus the Rams. These guys, the ultimate competitors. They'll go out there and play at a very high level. We've been playing against this guy. I have, my personally, been playing against this guy for a long time. Played with him, coached with him, done all the things that you can. So you know what type of mentality this game is going to be like and what it's going to be all about. So those are the things that you respect and love to play in these competitive type of environments when you're going to play these type of guys.
How difficult is it to get ready for his offense? You said you've gone against him for many years. How difficult is it to prepare for Kyle's offense?
You know, Kyle's going to find out a way to exploit some of your weaknesses. He's going to find out a way to get out there and try to make sure you cleaned up every correction that you possibly have on your books. And he's also going to find a way to make him do those things while also...
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Executing what he wants to get done on offense, and that's ultimately run the football and be able to throw the ball efficiently, hold on to the ball, and keep you away from it. So we know those things. We just played, you know, the leading time of possession team in the National Football League, and really it all came down to being about us. So we got to let the same mentality go into this game and go out there and try to find a way to get a big-time win.
That's what we said, Coach. It's about time people start saying, hey, how do we handle the Falcons as opposed to how do we handle the other team? Best of luck, man.
Oh, you guys are the best, man. Always good to talk to you.
Go get them.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.